gonna be honest with you guys, I'm not much of a drinker. When I'm not doing comedy, I'm a stay-at-home dad, y'all. Yeah. I don't have any kids. Wanna be honest with you on that. But I'm living that stay-at-home dad lifestyle, you guys. What's an alarm clock? I don't know, alright? Multiple bowls of cereal throughout the day. It's 8 a.m. somewhere. Let's get it. Let's do this. Hell yeah.
Brad, every time,
I can't.
Everything is okay. Oh my god!
Somehow we always look shocked every single time. It's my favorite.
You know why I'm shocked right now is because we have a special guest on with us, and people, I don't know if you read the title of the podcast, but if you didn't, Vince Fabra.
I don't even know what the title of the podcast is.
I don't either. Oh, crap. We probably should have thought about that. Vince Fabra is here with us in person. Vince, how you doing, man?
Guys, just grinning ear to ear. So excited to be here with y'all on Everything is Okay. I do agree. Everything is okay. I've been to the state of Oklahoma a couple different times. Brad right now is rocking an Oklahoma City t-shirt and an Oklahoma State hat. I mean, he couldn't be more Oklahoma if he was in the play Oklahoma. And David's got a Tulsa t-shirt on, and James looks like he's just hanging out on a street corner somewhere in Tulsa, Oklahoma, with a jug. God. Like,
that's the look
the
I'm always going for.
You look like you're playing the jug to a good old country western song, you know?
Yeah, I like to go with the approach of where people aren't sure if I'm drinking from the cup I'm holding or if I want change. That's the look I'm going for most of the time.
Have you ever had somebody like give you an offer that was clearly more charitable than you needed? Like, did someone ever mistake you for somebody in more need than you actually were?
I was actually at a McDonald's once about to get food, and like, I wanted to use some of my change because I didn't feel like just using cash or whatever. And the person behind me was like, don't worry, I got it. And I was like, I mean, you know what? You're feeling good about this. Yeah. I'm gonna eat a free burger. We're both in a good place.
Yeah, and James absolutely would not say anything and would allow that to happen immediately.
No, man. Like, if I could grow a beard,
you realize how terrible you would feel?
I would.
You know how terrible you would feel if you were like, man, I got you. I know you're having a hard time. You're on the streets. And they were like, no, I'm not. That's like the equivalent of when are you due?
Yeah. Like, oh, that's a great point.
It's a gotcha. It's a gotcha moment, right?
Yeah.
Like straight up. Yeah. It's a gotcha. Gotcha right there.
That's so good. Hey, man, let me help you out. And you're like, dude, I was about to put it on my debit card, man. I'm all right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You pull out that American Express. Like, I was in Columbia, Mississippi the other day. And straight up, I pulled out the American Express and I asked him, I was like, hey, do y'all take American Express? The lady looks me straight in the face. I'm not going to say where it was. Looks me straight in the face and was like, do you really think that this is a place that has American Express? And I was like, what? And I put it up. I felt so bad. I was like, I wanted to be like, there's the Apple Square. Like, you can use the square. Like, I don't know. It was bad. It was real.
The American
bad.
Express, I always heard that it charges the businesses more. Like, it takes more of a transaction fee. That's why so many businesses don't carry American Express.
That's the truth, man. It's true. But I didn't think you had to be a Macy's to have an American Express. I'm not going to lie.
Shout out to Macy's, y'all. Love the parade. So,
keeping Santa Claus alive.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, Vince just took over the podcast, by the way.
Yeah. Welcome, y'all.
Just so real glad quick, Vince is here, guys.
Before we get into it all, you know, what are some things I should know about the great state of Oklahoma?
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to look at...
As the only non-native here.
I think that's a good question. I'm going to look at...
What's it pointing at on the map?
have the largest totem pole in the world.
We do have the largest totem pole in the world. I'm thinking of the blue whale outside of Claremore right now.
That we closed for most of our lives because supposedly some kid drowned, but is now open and there's children there all the time. So hopefully there wasn't deaths.
Yeah, Brad, what do you think about when you hear, just hear that beautiful world of that word of Oklahoma?
I mean, we got Route 66, right? That's pretty historic.
A lot of states do.
Well, I mean, we're one of them.
It's a big road. It's a big road. Right.
The reason right. people it, know of it is because everybody
has
it.
We got a comedian on the freaking podcast. This is what happens.
We have some Starbucks,
we got,
too.
We got a state capital. No other state has that.
Starbucks, McDonald's.
Our capital is named after our state, so we got that.
That's cool. Hey, that's that
true.
Is cool.
It's true. Because it's basically the only city. So it's the Oklahoma City.
Yeah, we know how to spell Oklahoma, which is good. Apparently, did you guys see that thing that came out about like the word, like the worst word, like the word, I guess, on Google that's spelled incorrectly the most? And the state of Wisconsin, you'd think they would have like a difficult word on there, but they actually had, that's right, Wisconsin. Wisconsin was the word that's most misspelled in the state
Let's
of Wisconsin.
Let's be fair, though. People know how to spell Oklahoma because there's a song.
Ooh.
That's probably the only reason.
I guess Wisconsin,
Wisconsin
needs to get...
had written a song about cowboys and ranchers right. getting along, which everyone can get behind that theme.
Yeah. I think out there there's a podcast called Whisk Me Up Some Eggs or something like that. You know what I'm saying? And if you host a podcast called Whisk Me Up Some Eggs, go ahead and write that Wisconsin song, y'all. We need it. We need it.
I don't know how it would possibly flow, but...
Oh, well, I was going to take a kind of a negative turn, but I did find out yesterday that, or I guess I found out through a podcast, that Oklahoma and Texas, we kill the most people.
Yeah,
so
Oklahoma is
that.
second in the death penalty. It's also, for the presidential election, was completely red. Even Mississippi had a blue county, but...
Are you telling me there,
yeah, no.
Brad? Are you telling me there wasn't a, there? What? There's
it
not
was solid
one county
red.
In Oklahoma
not
City
one.
Or Tulsa.
Not a single one.
Not one.
How's that? How's that compared to South Carolina, Vince? Being in Charleston.
I think Charleston was a blue district or county, but it's, you know, it's primarily a red state. I think our last governor who was appointed to the UN, she's now the ambassador to the UN, Nikki Haley.
Yeah,
I think
just,
she was pretty
just dropped
moderate.
That, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. She was pretty moderate, but definitely a Republican. But 100% of the counties, that's pretty impressive there.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to name drop, we have Will Rogers.
Ooh.
Mm.
Yeah, I see the recognition in your eyes.
Yeah. Country music legend, yeah. Will Rogers.
That's basically
Rogers,
what we got, right?
Yeah.
Actor,
Brad,
politician.
Jump in here. We have Garth Brooks.
That's true.
We have Garth Brooks.
Who else do we have?
Let's see. Okay. We have a lot
Carrie
of country
Underwood's
people.
From there.
We have Kings of Leon. Kings of Leon.
Yeah.
Okay. All American Rejects.
Hanson.
Oh, yeah. Hanson. I don't know how we forgot that. David and I met a Hanson brother a few years back.
Call back to episode one. That was David Meg's first CD right there with the Hanson CD.
Oh,
first
wow.
secular CD.
Wow. Just drop that, Vince.
There you go.
For sure.
Little piece of everything is okay trivia right there.
Yeah. I would say.
Who else?
Go ahead, Brad. What else do you have?
Oh, that's it.
There's a lot of Indians.
We have an astronaut. That was from Claremore, but I don't remember his name. And
Vince, maybe we should
Will
ask
Rogers.
Yeah, Vince, maybe we should ask Luke. Right? Let's pull it back to you. Almost had it. What? He knows all about astronauts, doesn't he?
Luke, my co-host of my podcast, You Almost Had It. Each week we try something new, and you know, right on the theme of astronauts and state pride, Luke from Mississippi. Incorrectly claimed that Buzz Aldrin was from the state of Mississippi. no one caught it, because who's going to look that up? But Luke, feeling guilty, he looked it up himself and then corrected himself on the next episode. Buzz Aldrin, not from Mississippi.
And you know what's great is y'all said it so confidently. I'm in the car. I'm loving every second of it. And then the next episode, listening to it, I hear the apology, and I'm thinking to myself, I wish he wouldn't have apologized.
Yeah, way to ruin it for everybody.
I was like, I kind of wanted him to hold strong with it. Like, unless you get feedback,
yeah.
then that's fair. I love that. But.
Some lies just work everywhere. Like, anybody could say Buzz Aldrin is from their state, and people would be like, right. oh, cool. Yeah. You know?
Unless
yeah,
you're
like,
talking to somebody from the state he's actually from, because you know they're proud of it.
There are 49 states that you could pull that over on,
right,
you know?
Right, right.
Yeah. Buzz Aldrin, actually, guys, not even from America, interestingly enough. He's Canadian.
So what? 50 states then.
That's also a joke. You see, that's a lie, but you fell for it, you know?
Right.
Wow.
One has any idea. No one really cares. See, everybody's hearing this, and no one's going to look it up.
I started getting a little pride there, and I was like, you telling me America's favorite son wasn't from America? This is about to get bad here. I was about to go full red state in this place.
Yeah.
And like, joke Oklahoma, lost.
Okay. Like, this is going down. I do want to transition, but I'm not quite ready. Let's talk about something that's happening right now. That when this podcast comes out, I'm sure people hopefully won't forget about. Kevin Durant. Vince, I know you're way into sports. I know you're on top of it. Brad Stair, also super aware of what's going on with basketball. I've only watched one of the games. But Kevin Durant right now, so hot. Vince, thoughts?
He's
after Vince, Brad, how does it feel as a very, very serious Oklahoma City Thunder fan to watch Kevin Durant basically just dominate at least... I mean, can you argue that? I don't know. Go.
Follow-up question.
Mm-hmm.
Can you still argue that Michael Jordan isn't the best after a sweep?
I'll go on record with both of those things. I'll answer both of them with one response. No one is going to feel any differently if the Golden State Warriors beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. Game 4, we're recording this on Friday. Game 4 is tonight. Even if it's a sweep, no one's minds and hearts will be changed. If you love Kevin Durant, you'll say, wow, look at how he was the X factor. If you hate Kevin Durant, I'm sure Brad has some feelings about it. You'll be like, wow, what a soft cupcake move to go to Oklahoma City. If you love LeBron James, like I love LeBron James, you'll say, wow, how could Michael Jordan couldn't even beat that super team? If you hate LeBron James like people hate LeBron James, you'll say, wow, look at what a dumb failure he is for not winning. You know, it's just a classic example of confirmation bias. The way that you feel about something is going to be further validated regardless of what happens. No one looks at anything objectively anymore. And the NBA finals, politics, whatever, we all just twist reality to fit a certain set of beliefs we already have. If you hate Kevin Durant, the guy's a cupcake for going to Golden State. If you hate LeBron James, wow, he got swept or lost in 5 or lost in 6.
Right.
What a chump. If you love them both, LeBron, nobody could have beat that team. Kevin Durant, he was the X factor. No one's mind is going to change, especially not in some comment section on some video on Facebook. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
I'm going to stop you right there.
That's where all my beliefs come from.
Yes. And also, when I comment on Facebook, I put a lot of thought into that, Vince. And I'm pretty sure I'm changing the world with every time I hit enter. So, suck it. Suck it right now.
Absolutely, man. I'm sure that you're commenting in echo chambers where everyone gives you preach emojis and puts the clap emoji between every word so that they are like, yes, David Meggs, you made a great point. But as far as changing people's minds, you're not changing anyone's mind, bro. Again, confirmation bias. The people that agree with you, you're commenting into echo chambers, bro. That's how the world works nowadays. I know I'm right because I have a certain set of beliefs and I will twist your words to meet my certain set of beliefs.
Oh my gosh.
So what could be done to stop teams from becoming super teams then? Because with college football, they did a limitation on scholarships. And that absolutely changed college football.
Did it? Because Alabama seems to still kind of be the
pull the Alabama card there.
Alabama definitely doesn't dominate everybody.
You're talking to an Auburn fan right now. Which
I have the same thought about OU. I mean, like, no, we've beat them once every 10 years. No, we're good. But, like, come on. Alabama is, like, you can't deny that they're, like, a superpower right now.
Well, here's the thing. You know, college football has had a handful of different champions in the last 5 to 10 years. You know, Alabama has repeated a couple of times. But Auburn's won a championship. Florida State's won a championship. Clemson's won a championship. You know, you'll see a bunch of different teams at the top. Usually they're playing Alabama to either be the champion or lose to Alabama and be the runner-up. But the same thing is true in the NBA. I mean, yeah, Golden State and Cleveland have made the finals the last 3 years. But since LeBron went to Miami to form like the first super team, the Mavs have won. Dallas Mavericks have won, which is pretty close to Oklahoma. It's pretty close, not a very far drive. San Antonio Spurs have won. The Heat have won. The Cavs have won, and the Golden State Warriors have won. So there have been five different champions in the NBA in the last 7 years, you know, or 8 years. And the problem is, it's basically whoever LeBron James plays for and the team that comes out of the West, you know, which doesn't make basketball very entertaining from October to the first week of June. You know, that kind of sucks for their season. But I would say the way to stop super teams is just to give more attention to some of these smaller market teams, you know. The same thing with baseball. Like, the only teams that play on ESPN are the Cubs, the Cardinals, and the Yankees and the Red Sox, you know, the four major market, biggest fan base teams. And that hurts their exposure, that hurts their money, and that hurts, you know, them attracting free agents, you know. If the Colorado Rockies got a little bit more love, maybe they would attract the next Mike Trout in free agency, you know. And same thing with basketball, same thing with college football. And I think college football, they're trying to share the wealth a little bit with you know, the television rights. Even Southern Miss to the top gets a couple ESPN games a year. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, yeah, it is a little tough to spread the love in some of these sports, you know.
Brad, push back. What are you thinking?
I mean, I actually agree. I mean, these guys, I think what's different, you know, you talk about sports back when we were kids versus sports now, you know, it's so funny when you listen to the older players that seem to have like this thing like, no, we would have never went and played with our friends because that's not manly or whatever, you know. I think, of course, everybody around here was mad that KD left, but it's more like one, he went to the team that we just lost to. So that added to the like hurt factor there. But the other factor is like, this is our only pro team, and we're like that kid that, like, when we fall in love hard. And that's kind of what happened. Like, we wanted to believe that he would never hurt us. And, well, he did. So
he did.
Now we have to pick up the pieces.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But, see, the funny thing is like, everybody didn't like Westbrook. Like, Westbrook was the enemy around here. Like, he was always his fault. KD could do no wrong. It was always Westbrook's fault. As soon as Westbrook signed that, like, one-year extension, now he is, like, God's gift to Oklahoma, even though he's from L.A. So, you know, whatever.
I just want to give a quick shout-out to a really great song by a rapper named Lil Dicky, and he has a song called Russell Westbrook on a Farm. And basically, it's about if Russell Westbrook never discovered the sport of basketball because he grew up on a farm. And then it's just a really good song. And it's analogous to Lil Dicky discovering rap late in life and realizing he was good at it. So check it out. It's a good, dope track.
You know, nice. He could have put him as a farmer in Wisconsin and spelled it out and just helped out everybody.
That could have been the Wisconsin song.
That could have been it. Lil Dicky dropped the ball.
Little Dickie, if you're listening right now. No.
Rewrites.
Yeah, seriously. So, Vince, we had you on the podcast today for a couple different reasons. This is Everything Is Okay. Yes, we do have a foundation in Oklahoma. James and I, living in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, which is, let's be honest, Vince, that has a special place in your heart. And specifically, we wanted to dive into, A, your podcast, which is amazing. B, you're a stand-up comedian. Like, I'm a musician, right? So meaning like...
Exactly.
You love it. You care about it. You're really good at it. Maybe it's not right now paying the bills, but that doesn't mean maybe it won't someday, right? And
yeah.
Yeah. Like,
was that a kind of a roundabout humble brag too there?
It was. It was a little bit of a humble brag for Vince, a little bit of a humble brag
for me. You know how both of
me.
Us are incredible?
Yeah,
I'm not
going to
just. Yeah. I'm not just going to compliment you. Let's drop in how great I am too.
I need to throw out real quick that I'm extremely good at music, but also I want to make sure that Vince knows that he's also very, very talented. So
I guess the
first question I'm going to throw at you is, how do you muster up the strength to your new dad? You're doing Fired Up Productions right now, which is, you can talk a little bit about briefly, but basically you're a public speaker for a living. And then also you're running a podcast with your best bud, Luke Smitherman, which we love. Also you're doing stand-up. How you pulling this off for the guys out there listening right now and the gals that are spread a little bit too thin, maybe coming into fatherhood. Maybe this has everything to do with me. Maybe not. Who knows? how you pulling it off? That's the first question. How you pulling it off?
Man, I tell you what. I appreciate that kind context that you've provided. I think you adequately and properly stated it. You know, sometimes I was worried that you guys were going to bring me on here and talk about comedy as if I'm like you mentioned, paying the bills with comedy. I'm not. I think I'm talented. I think I could one day. I just have to, you know, turn up the hustle and really put a lot of eggs in that basket in order to do so. So with the proper expectations set, and to answer your question, I still have a lot of free time. Like, I still do nothing most of the time. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like I am a guy that from, you know, sun up to sun down is just like putting creative energy out into the world. I don't know. I feel like I could do more. And I don't know. I think your introduction almost was like a pat on the back and a nice warm hug to me, making me go, oh yeah, I do a lot. I have a podcast and I do comedy and like I have this public speaking career. Like, I'm pretty cool.
Right.
So thank you for that. Because for the most part, I feel like I'm still just wasting all kinds of time and I could do more, you know? But yeah, I mean,
I think that's a good point in the sense that for people who are passionate, energetic, have different passions and not just one passion, I think it can be difficult at times to slow down, right?
Yeah, for sure, man, for sure. And I know for me, like, with anything, and I'm sure y'all can relate, and even the listeners that are creative in certain ways can relate. Like, if I'm really excited about an episode of our podcast, I spend way too much time on it. You know, like, it's a free podcast and I don't make money doing it. You know, if I'm really excited about a stand-up joke, like, I want to get on stage immediately and perform it as many times as possible. If I'm really excited about a piece of curriculum with Fired Up or with the public speaking, like, I can't wait to develop it, you know? So I will say that when the project kind of takes a hold of me, wasting time and doing nothing is the last thing on my mind, because all I want to do is just kind of refine that project, that little piece of creativity. But yeah, but when I don't feel that passion, I suck at a lot. You know, I'm just like, I mean, I watch Let's Make a Deal and The Price is Right every day. 10 a.m., 11 a.m. You know what I'm saying? It's like I wish I had that killer instinct like some of my peers do that, you know, quite frankly, are in a better place comedically or have a podcast that might have a little bit more listeners and in a better, you know, reputation at this point. You know, I think sometimes I'm a victim of short-sighted thinking and I'm a victim of lack of motivation, but I appreciate you kind of listing off a couple things to make me feel like I'm actually doing stuff, you know. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that.
The last time I checked, you're a new father. So unquestionably, even though Skype is freaking out right now, like, you got to be doing some stuff, right? Like, you got to be doing some stuff.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I mean, it's really great to have my wife home. We're together, you know, we're logging some quality time. You know, we are doing the co-parenting thing for 12 weeks until she has to go back to work. So our baby's like 10 weeks old. So for these last 10 weeks, it's been a balancing act of all of those things that you mentioned, you know, but, I don't know, for me, I think we're cranking out weekly podcasts. I'm doing stand up semi-regularly. Our baby is happy and healthy. My wife and I are doing well. Like, I feel like I've been able to find the time and still at the end of the day feel like I'm wasting time. Like, I don't feel stressed out. You know, I feel like I feel like everything is okay. Boom. We'll be right back.
Nice. Pulled it back. Nice. Pulled it back.
Let's hear from our sponsors. But yeah, life is good, man. Life is good.
Do you have a fancy form of Connect Four behind you?
I do, yeah.
That makes me really happy.
It's good. It's good.
I mean, y'all were talking about some stuff kind of being more serious, and I just kept thinking, he's got Connect Four. And that's really awesome.
Yeah.
My sister gave
that to me as a gift.
That is awesome.
That's really sweet.
It's cool. It makes like the little medallions or like tokens or pieces, yeah. You know, they're like metal. So when you drop them in, ooh, they make a really loud noise. So it's better as decorative during, you know, Skyping sessions than it is as a coffee table game. So
right.
If I had to give it a Yelp review or a product review on Amazon, I'd give it like 3 stars, you know?
Well, I mean, I get for a normal gameplay, that would be rough. But for the winning drop, for it to actually make that clank, that's got to be satisfying.
Yeah. Like sometimes when the few times we've played, like we'll catch it before it hits the clank and makes a loud clank.
Right.
But that last one, mic drop, you know?
Right.
Like, you're done. Connect Four.
Then you just do the smug lean back.
So transitioning back. Although I'm tempted to stop and play Connect Four right now. Brad, throw out a little questions. Throw out a couple of your questions about how do you transition into the stand-up magic world? So take it, Brad.
Hit it, bro.
Oh, well now I'm nervous. But no, I was just kind of, you know, stand-up comedy is one thing. If you listen to a lot of the, you know, professionals when they do interviews, they talk about how it's one of the hardest things to get into, get good at, because it's so almost unforgiving. So how did you decide to get into that?
Yeah, man. So I've always been like a stage and microphone guy, and I always think that I've been able to, you know, get a crowd to feel a certain way, you know, whether that was pumping people up for a pep rally or whether that was, you know, like making a speech to talk about why Southern Miss was so great. You know, I think I've always been able to make people feel a certain way with the microphone in my hand. And I had a buddy, I had the softest landing into comedy ever, you know, which kind of almost makes me feel like a fraud as a comedian, because I had a buddy who was putting on a show. He had never done stand-up before. I had never done stand-up before. And it was the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, which is like the biggest bar night in America because everybody's home and nobody's doing anything the next day but eating food and watching football, you know? And so I call him up and I'm like, dude, what's up? I'm coming in town for Thanksgiving. What do you got going on? And he's like, man, I'm putting on a comedy show. I'd love for you to come. And I know him. He's a pretty funny guy, but I'm the microphone guy. Right. I've always been the microphone guy. So I'm like, dude,
challenge accepted.
You got to give, you got to give me some time. I'm not coming to be an audience member. I'm getting on stage. And he was like, all right, cool, man. You get 15 minutes, which for the first time ever as a comedian is a long, long set.
Yeah, you know? It is.
Like right now, I'm happy with a 15 minute set. I'm like, all right, cool. I get to stretch my legs a little bit. This is nice. First time out the gate, I was like, that sounds standard. Yeah, sure. Why not? You know? And so the first time I ever performed stand-up comedy was 15 minutes, at like a family and friends high school reunion type comedy show, the most supportive audience possible. And I'm not going to lie, I crushed, you know, because I had some microphone and stage experience. You know, I loved stand-up comedy, and I was able to kind of just pull from influences and write a bunch of 15 minutes of okay material, you know? And so after like really surprising myself that night, I was like, all right, well, I'm going to try to do this as often as possible. And that was in 2008. And, you know, there have been times when, you know, I've tried to get up every week, twice, two, three, four times a week as much as possible. And there have been times when, as David mentioned earlier, other things just take precedent and I get up, you know, once or twice a month. But it's definitely been a hobby and a passion and a focus since then. I have taken my lumps. You know, I have figured out the kind of comedian I want to be. And just like looking back on your middle school yearbook photo, I look back on some jokes that I used to do and it's like, oh my God, that was terrible. You're wearing a puka shell necklace, bro.
Right.
Why are you wearing a puka shell necklace right now? You know what I'm saying? Like that was never cool. You know? Yeah. Like there are some things where
it
you
was
just
cool
kind of
in
mature.
Oklahoma, but that's fine.
Oh dude, yeah, it was cool in New Orleans. No doubt. No doubt.
No, I'm kidding. We had the ball necklace, Brad. Do you remember that? You
definitely
remember?
Ball necklaces. Yeah.
Dude, we had the
ball neck.
We were in
the studded belt.
Yeah, the wannabe Christian punks. Could there be a bigger oxymoron?
If you have a joke that you look back on that you would say is like your frosted tips of jokes, what would that joke be?
Oh man, dude, there's so many just bad. Dumb jokes. And I mean, when you first start out, I mean, everyone's sense of humor when they first start out is like just a little bit more of a potty humor than, you know,
than you
would want. So I think I had a joke comparing like trying to figure out, all right, let me stay this as PC as possible, as non-explicit tag as possible. Like making love for the first time with like a new partner, you know, it's a lot like trying to plug something in an outlet that's like behind a dresser, you know? You're just kind of like, I don't know. I can't really, is it? Is that, do I have it? Is it in, you know? And so like, obviously that makes you guys laugh because I think there's just something human and carnal about that analogy and that metaphor. But like that used to be my closer, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so that I look back and I'm like, oh, frosted tips move. It was cool when it was cool, but it's not cool anymore.
Frosted move actually is what you're talking about. So yeah, absolutely.
Frosted tips. Ayo, just a tip, y'all. Just a tip.
Oh my gosh, dude. All right. So looking back at your memory of being on stage. I mean, your first time on stage seems like couldn't go better.
Yeah.
Tell us about a time, because I know our listeners want to hear about the Vince Fabra bombing, because the thought of you bombing in front of a mic seems like it couldn't happen. You know, like honestly,
I love that this is always a question for like comedians and stuff, and it's always like, hey, I know you're good at this. Tell me about when you weren't. Like,
tell me about when you sucked. Yeah,
absolutely.
Like, oh, you're good at that. Make me feel like you're human.
Yeah,
tell us how bad you are.
I think about when I think about Vince and the expectation of like interacting with you, et cetera. It's like, you're so good at being on. Talk about a time when you weren't.
Yeah. I think like my personality on stage sometimes is like, even when my jokes aren't working, I can be nice and like affable and people are like, oh, I like this guy. You know, he's not maybe funny, but he's nice. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I've been able to get away, and I don't know if I have as many bombing stories as I should, just because, you know, I can just be like, oh, you know, I'm a big dopey guy and you guys like me. But there was one time that comes to mind. I was performing in Indianapolis, great Midwestern state, kind of close to Oklahoma. I don't know. I don't think it is. And
yeah, you can throw a rock and, if you're really strong.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So there was an open mic on Wednesday that you got 8 minutes, and I did 8 minutes, and I had like 30 friends in the crowd because like the company I work for is based in Indianapolis. And so by round of applause, I like won the open mic. And then I got to come back for the weekend to open up for the real shows. So basically an incentive to get the open micers to bring many people out so they can win and kind of get some better stage time. So Friday night, I do a new 8 minutes. It goes okay. And I'm like, all right, cool. I'm feeling pretty confident. I lack self-awareness at this point. On Saturday, I'm going to bring a new 8 minutes to prove to myself that I have 24 minutes of good material. I didn't even have 8 minutes of good material. You know what I'm saying?
Challenge accepted.
Challenge accepted.
Right.
Yeah. That little voice in my head is gassing me up. Like, bro, I mean, if you can get 24 minutes, you can round that up to 30. Pretty soon you'll be doing a TV special for 30 minutes. I mean, look at you. You're only a few years into this. You're amazing. And that night I really, really just ate it. But it wasn't for an open mic, which is acceptable because every other comedian eats it at an open mic.
Right.
It was in front of a paying audience, you know? And so it just was uncomfortable. And I feel like I really showed a difference between me, the amateur, and like the actual pros. You know, when the pros got up, it took them a while to kind of get the room back. And then it ended up being a good show. And people forgot about me. But I think that was exactly the problem, is people forgot about me, you know. So, but there was one saving grace from that night, and I'll share it with you just so I can, you know, have that memory not be so negative. I did a joke about the power of the do it chant. Do you remember the do it chant?
Yeah.
From elementary school?
Absolutely.
You just say like, do it. Do it.
You're, absolutely.
Yeah.
The double dog dare of chance.
Yeah, exactly, man. It's impossible to resist the power of a do it chant. And so I had a joke about a do it chant, and it didn't go very well. You know, I was like, oh, I wish we could, just like any other comedian would have done, I wish we could bring that into the adult world, and I want a raise. And then you get your buddies to come in, do it, do it. You're getting that raise. Ha, ha, ha. Right? It falls flat. And so then the headliner's up like 2 hours after I perform, and he's looking at his set list. He'd been doing pretty well, and he's like, all right, let me see what jokes I'm going to do. And he looks at his set list, and he's like, all right, did that one. I don't want to do that one. Then some guy from the crowd goes, do it, do it, do it. And it got a bigger laugh than when I did the joke 2 hours ago. And so I feel like if I hadn't had that little cherry on top of that shit Sunday, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Then like maybe I would have stayed away from the stage longer than I did. But because I realized like, okay, well, at least that guy remembered that joke and made his buddies laugh by quoting that joke that didn't work to begin with, you know, the sequel better than the original kind of thing. Maybe I'll get back on stage or try to rework the do it chant or what have you, you know? So, all was not lost in Indianapolis at Morty's Comedy Joint that night.
I mean, it might not have worked as a joke, but it worked as real life application. So, I mean, come on, you changed a life for the better.
It did. I remember the headliner who I think saw me do that joke and fail. Whenever the crowd laughed, he got mad. He was like, "Don't laugh at that. Don't like." I think as like yeah. So That guy's name was Taylor Williamson. He was on America's Got Talent. He's pretty funny. Him up.
But guess what, Taylor? Vince has talent. All right? Vince has talent.
I do, man. I do. Yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah, I think I don't know. I think it's so hard. It's so difficult when you have those failure points to look at those in hindsight and be like, if I didn't fail at this point, I wouldn't be where I am today. And I think it's really difficult for folks, especially if you've been really good at something, the big fish, you know what I'm saying, in the small pond, like,
yeah,
to pick yourself up and to continue on that.
Absolutely, man. And you know, just going back to the idea of how, like, I mean, I'm still very much a hobbyist at comedy, you know, and if I were to move to a big comedy city and chase the dream wholeheartedly, I think I would have some of that. Like, well, I've always been good at stand-up. Like, why can't I break through in the industry, or why can't I, you know, get stage time and have people pay me for it? So right now, I'm still very much living this kind of like sheltered and have rose-colored glasses when it comes to comedy, because comedy is a grind, man. Comedy sucks. And I have buddies that are trying to do it as a profession with varying degrees of success. And even the guys that are doing well, I can still see how it's a wear and tear, and the road, you know, is sometimes a lonely place. And it's strange that you're making people laugh, but sometimes you can be the only one that's miserable along the way, you know?
Yeah, which I feel like that's true not only in comedy, but in a lot of those other areas of the arts, or areas where you're getting the laughs, you're getting the applause, etc. And it's like, you gotta check yourself with that at different times.
Mm-hmm.
And you gotta check yourself before you wreck yourself. That's right.
I'm also impressed that David felt like inviting you on after you completely invalidated his opinions in that mock trial due to head trauma.
Dude, I had a solid crawl.
You're basically
on
like,
David.
You know what? Your whole opinion on anything, memories, all of that, you're basically not a valid person.
Okay, that's not how I heard it.
Well, you know what? People will just have to go listen to that episode and decide for themselves.
Ooh, they do.
Great plug.
They do. Nice plug. I still can't believe. I will say, I hope Luke Smitherman is listening to this right now. Luke, what? Why didn't you call me and give me a heads up that when y'all called, that it was going to immediately go into a cross-examination? Or
as the
even,
only witness, too. He should have prepped you.
Or even tell me just for a moment, just 1 minute, just let me know what I'm coming into. But it's, you know, it's partly on me, Luke. It's partly on me because they had a short period of time. They called me. I was driving. And I couldn't get over the fact that I was on y'all's podcast and hearing you guys' voice. And I went immediately into character, which is exactly what I wanted to do.
Oh, yeah.
And I had so much freaking fun. And I knew Vince was going to walk me into a corner.
I'm also interested on how you picked who was prosecution and who was defense, because it's arguable that either of you could have been either position. So I feel like, did you claim your side to help you out in the win?
That's a good question. For those of you that are not Yahoo tuners, but you're like, everything is okayers, I don't know. Well, you know, whatever your fan base is
called.
I don't
know. We need one.
We're not sure.
We just hope we have a fan base.
Yeah. I think, like, if you count my family, Brad's family, and James' family, we're doing real good right now.
Yeah.
We're doing fine.
We have decent-sized families.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's basically it.
So what episode was that, Vince? Yeah. What episode
are
we talking about?
That's episode 15. So the flow of our podcast, the structure, the elevator pitch of our podcast is my buddy Luke and I, we get on a podcast, we catch up on basically how our week has gone. We call that the catch up. And then we talk about a weekly project, something that we either of us attempt for the first time. So for example, I've changed my own oil on my car. Luke has tried stand-up comedy for the first time. I, you know, gave myself a home
hysterical
haircut.
Hysterical.
Which was great. Yeah, that was that. A lot of people will say that that's their favorite. That's episode 3. So good to know we peaked early. And then And then we close each episode with a story from our friendship because, you know, we're both fans of a storytelling podcast. Shout out to The Crab Feast, one of the best podcasts out there. And we just want to tell funny stories or memorable stories from our friendship. So at the end of episode 14, I shared a story from a humor journal, a class that I believe David and I both took. Did you take the humor class?
Absolutely. We were in the same class. Yeah. I'm so glad you remembered me. Keep going.
Hey, man. You know, if I had written it down, I might have remembered, which is the whole thesis of that episode.
Dude,
you just
pulled it in. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I shared a story that involved Luke, and he didn't remember it, and it led to a little bit of a debate. So since we're all about trying new things, we were like, hey.
He didn't only not remember it. He was offended by it.
He was offended.
Which
he
made
vehemently
it,
denied
which made it.
It
so much better. Like, it was the perfect podcast moment.
It definitely was, because it didn't feel like you saw that his reaction coming at all.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
But you handled it. You handled it like you would handle it, which I loved. Like, you calmed it down. You made it all right. I'm like, Vince. It was just, I don't know. It was perfect. It was perfect.
I appreciate it. Yeah.
Calmed him down by saying, I'll see you in court.
Yeah.
I'll see you in court. Yeah. So we after the episode aired, which was about making a song, we made a song, the song of the summer. Go check it out.
Great.
Called Do It Till You Get Good.
Do It Till You Get Good.
We were getting a lot of text messages about the story. Like, did that happen? Was it true? Like, did you make it up, Vince, in your journal? And we started kind of playing lawyer a little bit, and we realized, like, oh, maybe we should do a mock trial. We're all about trying things for the first time. Let's just do a mock trial. And I think without really any thought, because I do see what you're saying, James, without really any thought, I was just like, well, I'm obviously the prosecution and Luke's obviously the defense, you know. So we called some witnesses. I got the professor of that very class
Dr.
to
Meyer,
the stand.
Dr. Meyer, man.
Dr. Meyer.
That was strong. That was strong.
What ended up being the testimony that really helped out the prosecution. So it was just a silly episode. It was our first time doing guests. And it was, you know, episode 15, which we kind of joked that, could, you know, anything that ends in a 5 or a 0 can be shoehorned into an anniversary episode or like a special episode, you know. So
right.
It worked out well. And last week we were back to just the two of us and we recorded our 17th episode earlier today. So I love it, man. I love it. I really enjoy it, and we have a lot of fun. And I think eventually, and this is what I've been telling my wife and partly telling myself, I think the podcast will eventually give back more than we give to it, you know, because some of our projects cost about $50 to go try this new thing or cost some time to go do this new thing. And my wife is reminding me of all the expenses that are adding up for the podcast.
Right.
And I'm like, man, if a year from now we've got 52 episodes each that are fun and somewhat educational, I think there's some real value in that. And I think, you know, a podcast network can be started from something like that. And, you know, and I know what y'all are doing is pretty similar. You know, you have these deep, meaningful conversations. You bring on experts in a topic and just ask them good questions. And
right.
I think, you know, there's some real value in that. So, and right now, it's still a very small passion project, but I wouldn't be surprised if by episode 50, you know, we're making some noise and there's more yahi tunas swimming in the school. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
go ahead.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I was okay with you going.
But I'm going to go.
Yeah, I appreciate you, but I have a better question. So, Vince...
Doubtful.
No, I can't. I know it's doubtful because you're really good at asking questions. You take it, man.
I mostly was going to say,
James.
I would like to steal a segment from your show and have you do a remember when of something that you have in your memory of David.
Oh, snap.
Snap.
That was really good. We should do that. But before we jump into that, I wanted to give Brad a real quick chance. Brad, talk briefly about for the listeners, because I feel like there's probably other people that are can want to know, like, how do we do podcasts, etc. And Vince, y'all had an episode on making a podcast, which I thought was awesome, and like kind of pulled some of the veil back a little bit. Brad, do you want to talk briefly about how we follow, like how we know what's going on with our listeners, et cetera, like that, like super quick in case people are interested?
Like how we track who's
yeah,
listening?
Yeah, how we track who's listening, et cetera, for people that may be interested.
Yeah, so there's it's a website actually. It does a lot of different things. It's called blueberry.com. They have like a WordPress section where you can actually use that as your host to send it out to iTunes and things like that. But they have a section, I think it's like $5 a month, and it's for statistics. And so you get professional statistics. And so for instance, I can look at, for each episode, I can look at how many downloads we had, and I can look at where distribution of where those were.
On that note, real quick, shout out to Japan again. We need to continually give our shout outs to Japan. We're up to five.
We have five listeners.
We're up to five downloads in Japan. Six downloads in Japan. My goal for this podcast is to be able to say we're big in Japan.
That's true.
That happened as soon as we got some of that information. So just a quick shout out to all of Japan. Sorry.
Yes. Yeah, so we got that. We got that. We got which states and who downloaded the most. Shout out to Mississippi because you guys are typically the most. And
hello Rayburns and friends in Germany.
Yeah,
that's right. We had five in Germany last episode.
So anyways, say that website again real quick, Brad.
It's blueberry.com. I think it's like blubrry, I think, .com. And
shout out.
yeah. And so you get that, and you can also see like what they're downloading it on and all that stuff. So it's kind of neat to see kind of where people are listening, and you can find out through other ways like how they got, you know, how they downloaded it or how they've came into your site and things like that. So it's kind of neat to, it's a nice That's little sweet. Toy to play with. Yeah.
Hey, asking for a friend, his name's Luke Smitherman. does that have to be the place where you post, and does it have to be your host in order for you to kind of get those analytics?
No, because we use Squarespace.
As do we. What up, Squarespace? There you go. What up?
So the thing with Squarespace,
soon to be a sponsor.
The thing with Squarespace is that you have to post the little like outsource code into every episode. You just have to make sure you do that as soon as you post it, because if you wait, then you'll miss the automatics that go to like iTunes.
Yeah, yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
So,
right.
And but no, you don't have to have their.
There's a tutorial.
Yeah, and it's really. I mean, David can tell you how hard that is. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, no, it's. I don't do that. But there's a tutorial out there that Brad sent me, and I update the Squarespace episodes and. Yeah, it's definitely easy. Luke, you can do it. We believe in you.
So, love you, Luke.
Love you, Luke. So going back,
I don't
back,
really know you, so
yeah.
I'm kind of indifferent.
I like your voice.
Love you, Luke.
He's got
Sutherman.
A great voice.
He does. Gosh, he has a good voice. And he's just a good looking
good
guy.
Laugh.
Good looking
good,
guy.
Good
looking
giggle.
Guy. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, thanks Brad for throwing out there. I definitely thought that there's got to be people listening right now that are like, there's a lot of mystery behind podcasts. And that's why events, I like that you guys did that podcast on how to make a podcast. Cause it seems scary, but once you do a little digging, you can figure it out. So real quick, Vince, I think it's time. This is the time we've been waiting for. We're wrapping up. I know you have dinner ready for you. We've loved talking with you. I think James has a really good idea on how to wrap this up that he may have already mentioned.
So now we will steal a segment from the You Almost Had It podcast and do a remember when of a memory of either Vince or David have of each other.
Whew. Oh my gosh.
I have a bonus. I have one that involves, I believe, all four of us.
Yes, you do. And it probably had something to do with Austin.
Be the, That'd be the Dave and Meg's Bachelor Party in Austin, Texas. Just filled with cut off jean shorts and
really awkward
shirts
movie.
With too many buttons open and you know, various Chacos and Toms and beards, and it was just a great hipster fest down there in Austin, Texas. I've got one anecdote that, you know, I mentioned being a fraud earlier. I've got one anecdote of how I'm an Austin fraud, and that is, I think y'all went and saw a movie. I'm sure it was, you know,
incredibly
an art house
awkward.
Film or something.
Yeah,
it was
Alamo Draft House. It had Matthew McConaughey in it.
Yeah, we're not going to pitch the movie.
We're not going to pitch the movie because it was so tough to watch. I think,
was it Lincoln Lawyer?
No.
Nope. It was.
I wish it was.
No, it wasn't like, oh, this is a bad movie. It was like,
it was just a rough movie to swallow. As yeah. in like intense, like
drawn out, really awkward things happening.
Yeah, lots of explicit content.
Did you don't
want to
make eye contact with anyone in the room? And like,
did it?
It's one of those like, where did he touch you on the doll moments?
Yeah.
Real rough.
So, did you guys go see a movie that maybe had another Texas city in the title?
Ooh.
As in Dallas?
No.
It wasn't Dallas Fire Club.
Because that's a great movie.
It is a great movie, but that heavy content,
yeah, but
you know,
like
awkward
that
for a bachelor party.
The intensity of that, yeah.
It wasn't like awkward, but like, this is still valid subject matter. It was like, why is this happening? Who thought of this?
I'm going to go look at McConaughey's IMDb and try to pick this movie out.
Uh-oh, Brad looked it up.
Killer Joe.
Yep.
Killer
that
Joe.
Was it.
That's it. Killer Joe.
Oh. Yeah, I've read about that. It's a play, and he's like this like kind of suave, brooding ladies' man that like abuses people in like really weird ways.
Yeah, it's like the most. It's basically the most sadistic like movie that you could watch, and it's Matthew McConaughey because you want to watch it because all right, you know, like
yeah,
I love the guy, I love him.
So as predicted, you went to an artsy fartsy draft house movie theater to see an artsy fartsy weird movie. And me, as the Austin, Texas fraud, I sat that out to do the complete opposite thing. And that was to go draft my fantasy football team.
Wow.
So while you guys are watching, I was doing some drafting of my own, and I was picking fake sports players to be on my fantasy football team. And that's like when I felt like I can hang with David and his friends. Oh, wait, but I have to go draft my fantasy football team.
All right, let's add an update real quick to that. This guy right here talking, I play fantasy football now. And also, Sam Zena, Zach Popovich, Jake Meek, all three of them that were there with us, absolutely love fantasy football now. Vince,
I played last season. I wasn't a fan. I probably won't again, but I played last season.
Even James jumped in there for a second.
Even James Vince, got in,
so,
man.
So a large percentage of the people there have done it now. You were just ahead of the curve.
I know. Were you the catalyst? Like that's maybe the question right now. Like, Vince, did you do something secretive that made us all want to play fantasy football?
I'll say it might be that y'all hated Killer Joe that much. You know what I'm saying?
That's valid.
Like, y'all came home and y'all were like, dude, I got to get into fantasy football, man. If it's going to keep me from, if it's going to keep me out of the Killer Joe sequel, you know what I'm saying?
Right. And I like that somehow during that stretch, it got very primal. And I don't remember even why, but we wandered through the woods at one point, and there's a picture of a lot of half-naked men.
That Daniel took, my brother Daniel Meggs, shout out to Daniel Meggs.
I don't remember why we were just kind of wandering or why everybody ended up without a shirt, pretty much.
We had just eaten some tacos at like a great taco place.
Yeah,
and it was right across
deli.
From this.
I like that
ravine.
That's a reason.
Yeah.
We don't have
some
tacos.
Yeah, we were like, let's eat some tacos and then take our clothes off. Yeah.
Everybody's been there. You're in Austin. You're eating some tacos. You end up in the woods half naked.
Yeah, for sure, man. And again, you know, I feel like I definitely maybe was another catalyst and trendsetter with, I'm always the first to take off clothes. You know,
go ahead
so.
And say that's not a maybe on that one. I do remember that was definitely.
Yeah, it was basically like, hey guys, can we just go somewhere where I can take something off? That's basically in hindsight what that situation was.
There's some woods over there. Will that do? Sure. Who's coming with? Yeah, man. Dude. Well, that was a good time. And then were we all there to then celebrate the nuptials for Megs in North Carolina?
Absolutely.
I know,
we were.
Yeah, we were all there.
Yeah, we were.
Good that, times.
What do y'all remember from that day?
Because remember, we were worried that the plumbing didn't work in the house and that we're all going to have to poop outside in our hands.
During that trip was when we were all upstairs about to go into town to get some food. And I don't remember what he said, but Zach said something. And I realized Zach is Schmidt from New Girl. In that moment. I don't remember what it was he said, but I was like,
absolutely.
Dude, Zach, you were Schmidt. Like, holy crap. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It was, I had that moment with him.
That's our good buddy, Zach Popovich. And actually, I texted him yesterday, just checking in on him. Missed that guy big time.
Good deal, man.
Those were good times. Vince, I know we've run out of time. It's been a delight having you on.
Oh,
let me just
bring it full circle real quick.
Okay.
So you got bachelor party, you got nuptials, you know, and then the next thing that comes after that is fatherhood. And I'm so excited for you and Hannah to bring a baby into this world, man. And whatever new dad or labor and delivery advice I can give, holler at me. I don't know much, you know, but sometimes that 10-week head start is all you need to kind of give another guy some
yeah.
advice. So
thanks,
I love
man.
You. And I'm and Brad and James, if y'all ever have a kid or a second kid, I don't know if you got any right now, but holler at me. I'd love to help in any way. It's
none
really
that we
fun.
Know of.
I will say, Vince, you're gonna appreciate this. We passed the Bradley class this week. We went to our last
Good.
Class. That's Bradley Method. And your episode, again, another shout out to y'all. You did an episode on the Bradley Method, and it was great, man.
Yeah, man. 12 weeks of your life. Now you're free. What are you doing on Tuesdays now, you know?
Oh, my gosh. Definitely playing music or hanging out with some friends. It's
as we've all recently heard, David is wonderful at. Right,
that's so
David?
True. That's good. That's playing music, trying to make sure that I'm better than every single other person listening to this podcast. So
check out the squid and the blue whale, you know? That was a deep callback, y'all. That's a callback from minute two right there.
Dude, that was big. That was big. All right. So real quick, Vince, shout outs for you. How do people follow the podcast? How do people follow you as a comedian, et cetera?
Absolutely. Yeah. You can follow the podcast by going to the website, yahipodcast.com, as in YAHI podcast. You almost had it. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram. I think any one of you that does, you will probably increase our followership by about 10%. I mean, I think we've got 4 followers on each social media platform right now. So find us on Twitter. Find us on Instagram.
They have more than that.
Yeah, yeah. Find us on Facebook. Our Facebook page is where we do most of our posting. Just search You Almost Had It Podcast. Me, I try to keep a low profile on social media, but I'm definitely going to be ramping that up here in a little bit as I try to hustle in comedy a little bit more. There's some stand-up videos of me on YouTube. Search Vince Faber on YouTube. Search for me on Facebook as well. Ask to be my friend. I'll accept. As long as you are not a very hot girl with only one other friend, I will accept you. If you are a very hot girl with only one other friend, I'm pretty sure we don't know each other and that you're a fake account. So especially if you're showing up
That's
as
so
a mutual
true.
Friend.
So
yeah,
we
so
have
true.
Some poor listener who's just really attractive and has only gotten one person to friend them, and they're just trying to make friends on Facebook.
Yeah. They're just
yeah.
like,
no one will believe them.
That?
They just don't believe
yeah.
they exist.
I'll be honest, I click through all the pictures before I delete the friend request. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean,
you do your due diligence.
I see what you're working with before I click delete from your fake friend request. If you want to sell me sunglasses, like... hijack a 40-year-old dad's picture. I'll be like, oh, yeah, this guy needs some friends. He's new to Facebook, you know? And then bombard me with the Oakley post. But if you're a scantily clad hottie and you got one other friend on Facebook, I'm not falling for that. This isn't 2004. I know.
Throw up some, like, cat videos or something. Like, at least have a few posts.
Yeah, try to present yourself as a normal person, and you'll get more friends.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah. What were we talking about?
That's a little bit of a little bit of advice for people with fake accounts.
Yeah, man. I'm just trying to help.
All right. Well, we'll
dude, that
we'll
would be a fun Yahi podcast.
That
would be a fun Yahi podcast.
That would be.
Try to catfish some of our friends. Like, that would be so fun.
Absolutely.
Episode 25.
Well,
yeah,
you heard
man.
It here. You heard it here first.
Who do you think is the best basketball player of all time? All right. I pick LeBron. I pick LeBron. Here's why LeBron will never catch MJ, though. Not because MJ is a better basketball player. LeBron can't compete with nostalgia. Okay? Everyone in here loved their lives way more 20 years ago. It's just a fact. I watched Michael Jordan beat the Utah Jazz at a sleepover with 12 of my best friends, okay? I watched LeBron James beat the Golden State Warriors at a hotel room by myself in Nebraska. Do you understand the difference? When Michael Jordan won the NBA Finals, I still believed in Santa Claus, y'all. When LeBron James won the NBA Finals, I set an alarm for 7 a.m. the next morning. Do you get the difference? LeBron isn't chasing Michael Jordan. He's chasing our childhood. And he will never catch up. Who do you love more, your mother, who gave you unconditional love from the day you were born, or your stepmother, the personification of the idea that nothing will last? Like, who do you love more? But here's the thing, your stepmother's pretty damn good. She's a better cook, she's a better cleaner, she's a better rebounder, she's a better passer. She can guard all five positions. She's more physical. She makes your dad happier. Like, your stepmother is better. LeBron can't compete with nostalgia. Do you remember your family vacation to Disney World? You looked around that place and you said, wow, this place is magical. Your dad looked around that place and said, this place is expensive. And you were both right. Do you understand? LeBron can't compete with nostalgia. I love LeBron. I love him so much. And I don't hate Michael, y'all. I don't hate Michael. I just don't believe he was as great as we remember. Go watch Space Jam as an adult. It's a garbage movie, y'all. And the worst part about it is Michael Jordan. He's a terrible actor. 20 years ago, favorite movie. I wore that VHS out. As an adult, I realized it's not that good. But that Space Jam soundtrack, though, oh man, that shit's still hot. I'm gonna tell you what. I believe I can fly. For you, I will. Hit him high, hit him low. Basketball Jones, Quad City DJs, The Train. Wasn't that fun just reliving that soundtrack? It was, because nostalgia is great. And LeBron will never compete with nostalgia. Cavs in six, you heard it here. I'm Vince Fabric, thank you.